Hello and welcome to our online service. We count it such a privilege that although we are not able to meet, that at least we are able to bring the Word of God to you, that we're able to bring the love of God to you, that we're able to bring Jesus right into your home. What a great privilege it is. We're going to be studying the book of Habakkuk today. We're going to be looking at chapter 2, the first couple of verses. So if you would turn in there, and then we'll get right into it together. Just as an update, I want to let you know that actually the works of the church have started a couple of days ago. So there's the walls have been torn down. So if we need to keep, when we get back to church, if we need to keep that meter and a half space with each other, now we're going to have a lot of space up there. And it's just amazing how we're able to do that. We pray that you continue to pray for the project, continue to just pray that it'll be done on time, pray for the logistics of the downstairs, and pray also for this great thing that we have on our hearts, which is to start the Christian school in September. So anyway, we pray this will be a blessing to you this morning. Well, let's turn to Habakkuk and Habakkuk chapter 2. And you know, he's been wrestling. Habakkuk has been wrestling with the situation around them, with the unrighteousness, with the injustices that are going on. And he prays, and he prays, Lord, how long must I cry to you and you not answer? And then God says to him, I am answering. But my answer to your prayer is not going to be what you thought. It's going to be what I think is best. And one thing we need to realize is that God is eternally wiser than we are. He knows exactly, I like to call him the master chess player. He knows exactly how to move the pieces from one side to another. And he knows exactly how to bring us, every single one of us individually, into checkmate. Into a place where we give up and we grow. And Habakkuk, remember, he prayed and then God shows him the plan. And then Habakkuk, the next thing he does is he gets his eyes on the Lord. He says, are you not from everlasting? And we looked at the necessity in our life to get our eyes on the character of God. That's solid. Nothing else in life is solid. His character's solid. The best thing that could ever happen to your life and my life would be for our lives to be filled and illuminated with the knowledge of the character of God. It is Him that never changes. It is Him that will never change. It is Him that, like we read last week, He is faithful, He is holy, He is righteous, He is eternal, He is powerful. And when he comes to realize that, the next response of Habakkuk is to say in chapter 2, I will stand upon my station myself upon a tower. I will look to see what he will say to me, what he will answer when I am reproved. Answer when I am reproved. Notice in what way he approached God as he waits for an answer of this vision, of this work that God's going to do that he would not believe if it was told him. Look at how he waits. Notice that he waits humbly. Habakkuk says, I will wait until he answers me and I am reproved. So in a sense, he's not thinking to himself, God is going to answer to me and then I will tell him what I think. No, he's not angry. He actually is bracing himself. Maybe he had read the book of Job. Maybe I'm sure he knew about Job. And Job, he lost everything and it was so disastrous. It was so painful. He lost his children, his possessions, his health, and even to a degree, his wife, the encouragement of his wife when she said, hey, why don't you just curse God and die? And then he begins to justify himself. And in Job chapter 40, verse 7, God speaks into Job's life and God says, brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you will answer me. And then he says this, would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? And sometimes in our circumstances, the temptation would be to have a prideful attitude, an entitled attitude, a self-righteous instead of a humble attitude and say, Lord, I don't understand the circumstances. I really don't understand how you're going to work this one out. I don't know how you are going to navigate this one. But if there's anything that we know is that we have fallen short and you do things rightly. I mean, really? Will we discredit his justice? Will we condemn him so that we can justify ourselves? It should never be. So notice the attitude of Habakkuk. It's humble. I will wait. I will look to see what he will do to me and answer when I am reproved. What's important is that Habakkuk realizes that he needs to wait upon God. It's not enough just to pray as he had. It's not just enough to get our eyes on the Lord. It's not just enough to cast our cares. But actually, in casting our cares in prayer to Him, it is also for us to wait. And how do we wait? Many of us are waiting for the government. to maybe put some means. Many of us are waiting maybe for the quarantine to be lifted. Some of us are waiting for maybe the viruses to go completely away. Or maybe some of us are waiting and thinking, what is the financial thing going to happen? And there's we're in such an uncertain time. But really, in our perplexity, in our situation, when we are not satisfied with the answers, and when we think to ourselves, what should I do with my life? We need to wait. And not wait on everybody else, but wait upon God. We need to pray and share with the Lord our insufficiencies, to take it to God, to get on our knees and tell God about our worries, to tell Him that we see no solution ourselves and that we can't understand, and we ask Him to show us His way. So we get to a place where we've prayed and we've poured out our heart to Him, and we don't know the way, and we sort of leave it there. But immediately what happens? We immediately want to do something ourselves. We want to take it up again. If God doesn't answer, if we don't get the answer we think, we're going to take care of it ourselves. And if you're going to do that, you might as well not pray. The reality of life as a child with parents, with in life and looking for jobs and sending CVs or resumes out, the reality of life is that we need to wait. Even with Amazon and Prime shipping, we still need to wait. And in life, we need to wait. And with God who designed life, there's no escaping it. We need to wait. You might as well not pray if you just are going to determine to do it yourself. You know, being so anxious about tomorrow, and we get to a point that rather than waiting for wisdom from God, what we do is we pray, but then we just do it ourselves. And Habakkuk could see no light. He could not understand it. He could not see how this whole thing was going to pan out. And in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it says, "In nothing be anxious." Never let yourself be anxious. Never let yourself be burdened or worried about by care. The reality is if we let that happen, it'll cripple us spiritually. Now, notice this. I'm not saying that we will not be tempted to worry and to be anxious. But there's a big difference between being tempted to anxiety and to worry and to impatient and to yield to it. Big difference. And in our lives, my concern for your life and for my life is not, are we being tempted to be anxious, but are we fighting to trust God, to trust in His promises? Think of how faithful He's been in history. Think how faithful He's been in your life. And like Alan Redpath used to always say, he says, "His past faithfulness demands our present trust." Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, every single thing. There's nothing that should not be included in that everything. We should be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, make with thanksgiving. We remember that, with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving gets us on our mind on what He's fulfilled in the past and builds our confidence for what he'll fulfill in the future. Make your requests known to God. And then the peace of God that passes understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And you know what? We pray. We cast our cares upon Him. But we wait. We wait for Him patiently. But notice that He doesn't wait. Because some people, they're very good at waiting. And in a sense, they're not even expecting anything from God. But to wait with an expectancy that God will answer one way or another, even if it's a mysterious way that we never thought, God answers our concerns. We so often don't believe or expect an answer. If we pray, we must realize that we're going to get an answer, and even an answer that we do not expect. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, and some of the verses, 5 and 6 actually, said, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him who ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." And James is talking to people who are going through great difficulties, and he says to them, "Count it joy when you're going through trials, knowing that God is doing something wonderful, although you might not understand. But you know what? As you wait in your trial, ask wisdom. Pray, cast your care upon him. And you know what? He gives liberally. But you must pray in faith. Because he who does not believe is like a wave being tossed to and fro." And you know what? This verse has often sort of perplexed me as a younger Christian. But to pray in faith does not mean to produce the answer that we want. Oftentimes we think if we believe enough, we'll get the answer that we are actually praying for. No. Listen, this confessions of faith and this positive thinking. You know what? I don't care how positive my son is about what he's asking me to do for him or my children. I, being more mature than them, I'm going to give them a wise answer. So when we talk about faith, no matter how much my children believe, and no matter how positive they think they are, I'm not going to give them what they want. I'm going to give them what they need. And we cannot go to pray in faith producing the answer that we want. Faith is also not to produce a random answer now. And what do I mean by that? That all of a sudden we're like, okay, I'm in this trial. I'm going to go to the mountain and pray. And the first thought that I'm going to pray in faith for wisdom to God who gives liberally. And the first thought that enters into my mind is going to be the answer from God. Maybe the first thought is go to the cliff and jump off. The reality is that that's not it either. Sometimes we pray, and to pray in faith does not mean that he answers us right now what we're praying for. That's not it. Many times we ask for wisdom in the mountain. Maybe we get in the closet. Maybe we get on our knees beside our bed, and we pray. And in that moment, he doesn't answer. But as the hours, as the days, as the weeks, as the months, sometimes even as the years go by, God answers us. So faith doesn't produce the timing. The faith that we need to have is trust in the character of God, that he will give the right answer at the right time, because he is a generous God. Because he's good, because he's merciful, because he's kind, because he's loving, because he's just. You see the difference? My children can come to me and they can ask me if they can do this or if they can do that. And what's going to be honoring is not that they get the answer that they want. It's not that they get the answer when they want. The honoring thing is going to be that they trust that I will give them the answer that is best for them, because I love them and I think about their future much more than they do. They're not there yet. All they want to do is play. Which is great at their age. But you know what? I'm concerned. And what is so honoring as a father is when your son says, "You know what? I don't understand it, but I'll trust you. And I'm going to ask you for wisdom, and I'll wait for your timing, and I'll wait for what you give." And how and when does God answer us? How do we get these answers from God? Number one, as we just touched on, is obviously in his timing. We're not going to force him. God does not have his arm twisted. He is not manipulated. We go to him genuinely. We go to him lovingly. We go to him humbly. We go to him submissively. We will not twist his arm. And we might want something. Sometimes he'll give us what we're praying for and even the wisdom immediately. It just comes to us. But sometimes it won't be like that. In his timing, he will bring the answer. A lot of us don't understand what's going on, how things are going to pan out. He will let you know. You pray, and he will give you wisdom. Guaranteed. Number two is you can expect God to answer you as you read his word. You know, in order to bring the word of God to you guys home, and to be able to bring Jesus to your houses. And since the lockdown, it's been challenging for me. Part of my work has been researching technology and getting manuals and how to work a camera and how to film and how to and asking. And you know what? The best thing that we can ever do when we buy something is to read the manual. Sometimes it's amazing the light that the manual will bring instead of just pressing buttons and messing everything up. And many of us are like that in life. We love to press the buttons to try to figure it out. But the best way that we can get God to speak to us is to get in his word, to listen to him, to sometimes you'll be reading the Bible. You'll notice as you read, someone was telling me that they were reading Ecclesiastes and it was just so good. But as you read the word of God, suddenly a strange and wonderful light is cast upon the problem. I don't know how many times it happens endlessly to me that I'm reading through, and maybe I'm not even looking at a passage that has to do with the problem. But you know what? God shows me an attitude in my heart through an attitude in the Bible. How God dealt with it. Or I see maybe another aspect of God. And it's just amazing how God speaks to us through his word. Our attitude should be as we read the Bible that it is God's word. And I wonder what he will say to me. I wonder what he will say to me as I grab one book of the Bible and I just read it. And maybe one word will stick out, maybe one verse. But listen, he speaks to you there, but he speaks to you in context. It's not a Ouija board. It's not a Russian roulette. It's not, you know what? The Bible is orderly. And as you get into it, as you read, you begin to discover the heart of God. It's like having a conversation with someone. The more you converse with them, the more you get to know them. Sometimes, number three, God answers as we pray for wisdom and we pray for direction and we pray for certain things. Sometimes he answers us directly to our spirits. You know, in coming to Mallorca, it was through a verse, but it was like we went to a conference and I asked Loretta, if you could sum up the whole conference in one word, what would it be? And she said, go. And it's the very word I had. And there was a conviction in my heart. And you know what? He can put things on our mind that we realize that it's the answer. He impresses on our hearts in an undeniable manner. We can't get away from the impression on our mind or heart. And it's not ideas. There's a big difference between when we have ideas and we have random ideas and we have new ideas every single day and 1,000 a day. But there's a big difference between ideas and convictions. We have ideas, convictions have us. And when God speaks to us, it will be a relentless, steady voice that speaks to us. And he speaks directly in our heart. And we should test that by his word. Is it biblical? Is it honoring to God? Is it loving? Is it righteous? Sometimes we just get impulses and we just act on our impulses while we take people for granted, while we step over people, while we just use people to get our way. And we are not to be driven by impulsive ideas, but rather by godly conviction. That which has us. Then after that, sometimes God answers our prayers by the provision of circumstances and the day-to-day. God opens doors. It might take long, you know, and many times it's just, you know, me pastoring this church. I'll give you this example. You know, I didn't want to push myself to pastor. I was happy just reading the Bible with two friends of mine on the other side of the island and being near my grandmother. I was happy with that. And next thing you know, Pastor Allen from the Santa Ponsa Community Church, 20 years ago, he asked me, hey, will you take this church? And I was like, no. I turned it down from London. Then we moved over. And then I met a guy, and he asked me to meet Alan. And Alan told me about the church, and he asked me to take this post in pastoring the Santa Ponsa Community Church. We prayed, and it was go to Mallorca. We got here, and it was on the other side. But you know, the reason, the only reason I took over the Santa Ponsa Community Church to pastor and care for the people was literally because an open door was presented before me by God. Many times it's just open doors, closed doors. He guides us like that. And what a wonderful way that God would be directing us through these common situations. And you know what? That's where we need to pray, to have eyes to see God's provisions. And having committed to wait for the answer from God, we must eagerly and persistently wait for it. The danger of a watchman is to expect nothing. That's why James says, if you ask God, let him ask in faith. He who does not believe is like a wave tossed. And what's the point of praying? What's the point of waiting if there's no expectancy? And you know, many times it's been disappointment in our hearts that has brought us to a point of not expecting anything. Naomi, I don't think she expected anything good to come out of her life. And she said, you know what? My name was pleasant. It meant pleasant. But call me bitter because the circumstances of my life have not been good. And she lost hope and she wasn't expecting. Now, it doesn't mean that God didn't bless her because she wasn't unexpectant. But we should be expectant, knowing that God answers liberally, generously, lovingly our prayers. We must believe that God is always true to His word and His promises never fail. So we commit our watch. And you know, it's a terrible watchman that doesn't wait expectantly. You know, when I was in the military in boot camp, we had to wait. We had to pull an all night. We built a bunker, and then we had to watch all night. And you know what? I was getting drowsier and drowsier. And of course, because we were training, I knew we weren't to expect anything. You know what happened? I fell asleep. And to my surprise, the drill sergeant came and woke me up and gave me the beating of my life with a flashlight over my Kevlar, which is the helmet in the army. But I mean, it was the unexpectancy made me fall asleep. And I think sometimes in our life, the being unexpectant makes us lethargic. It makes us just sit around and not expect anything from God. And we should be like kids waiting for Santa, so to speak. I mean, Arden, he's like, when is Santa coming again? And we should be like kids waiting for grandparents to come home. And they wait by the window. Are they here yet? When are they coming? When are they coming? Are they here yet? There should be a childlikeness in our minds, that in the circumstances, as we pray and we cast our cares upon Him and we wait and watch, that we wait and watch expectantly, you know, knowing that He will resolve the situations. He will give us wisdom to navigate through this. And we need to see the opportunities. He would help us to see the opportunities in the midst of these circumstances. Faith is patient, but faith is expectant. When you trust someone, you're happy to ask them to do something, and you're happy to wait for them to get it done. But you expect it to get done. And you see, with God, it should be like that. We should be patient, that it will be done in time. But we should be expectant that He's not going to forget. And this is the reward of prophecy. You know, prophecy is a wonderful thing in the scriptures. One of the things that I find more amazing in the scriptures is the prophecy. Habakkuk got a prophecy from God, and we have the prophecies of Jesus, the prophecies of the Old Testament, and we have the prophecies of the New Testament. We have the prophecies, obviously, which include the Gospels and Revelation. But man, I am shocked in this time how people are talking about tearing down 5G, and the 5G creates the coronavirus. And I'm shocked to hear of people saying that this is all a hoax, you know, and that it is not real, that none of this stuff is going on. And I'm shocked to say that this is, I mean, to hear just the conspiracy theories, and that this is all heading towards a one world government and a one world religion, and that this is all setting us up for the mark of the beast, and that this is all. And you know what? The reality is, why are we so shocked? This is one famine of men, one pestilence of many, one pandemic of many that have been throughout history. And yes, but why are we shocked at it? Jesus said they would grow as a woman with her birth pangs. They would grow. Why are we so surprised? We should be encouraged that we're getting closer. That what Jesus said is true. Of course we're heading towards a one world government. Of course there will be more control. No one in history has enjoyed as much liberty as we have in this century. The Christians that we read of in the Bible, they lived under Nero. They lived under terrible people. Nero burnt Christians as candles to light up his garden. We live in amazing times, but they are going towards a climax of the coming of Jesus. And it is certain. God says to Habakkuk, write the vision down, make it plain. And we have it plain. It will not tarry. It is heading this way. And we should be encouraged by it. We should be encouraged that not right now is the moment, but we are heading that way. It shouldn't shock us. We shouldn't be alarmed at all. Jesus said, not one stone will remain on another in Jerusalem. And you know what? 40 years later, the Romans came and they sieged Jerusalem and they destroyed it. And the very thing that Jesus said came to be. And the very things that the Bible says in Revelation, oh, Babylon, Babylon, how you have fallen, that's going to happen. But what is shocking to me is that in some ways we've seen New York come down. In some ways we've seen Spain paralyzed, Italy paralyzed. It's happening. It's just glimpses of how it's going to be. But it's happening, and this should not be alarming to us. It should be encouraging to us. So Christian people, in perplexity today with regard to what is going on in the world, we should not be panicking, but we should be realizing that the whole future belongs to God and that we belong to Him. And if you do not know Jesus today, it's written plain, not obscure prophecies, detailed prophecies of how things will pan out. This is just part. It's not the whole. But read your Bibles. History is under the sway, although we have the devil as the prince of this world, is under the sway and the governing authority of God. And no matter what comes our way, His plan will not be thwarted, and we are dab smack in the middle of it. We've prayed for a revival. We've prayed for our hearts to grow closer to God. And you know what? God has answered by allowing this to happen. This doesn't happen by accident. And you know what? Through this circumstance, God is going to produce wonderful things in us, among us, through us, and around us, all over the place. So may God bless you, and may you discover the character of God, the generosity. May you go to Him for wisdom, and may you discover what a great privilege it is to walk not relying on the things of this world, but how to rely on Him.
Before the throne of God above, I have the strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end. This sinless Savior died. My sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. Born in himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Oh, waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. For you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me yet. So I know the night. I know the night won't last. Your word will come. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you still know. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me yet. So
So here we are. We've studied Habakkuk. We've looked at this chapter that teaches us to be able to pray to Him and to be able to realize that He will answer our prayers, that He answers in His timing, that He answers as we read His Word, that He answers through circumstances, that He answers directly to our spirit. And you know that we need to be people of trust. Trust in His character. He gives liberally. If we do not trust His character, if we do not trust that God is love, we are going to be tossed to and fro in every way. If you do not know the Lord today, I want you to know that God demonstrated His love for you by sending His Son for you. Which one of us would give our son for somebody? And that is written down for us to realize how much God loves us. That He gave His Son, and that He came and He died on the cross, and that there He took your wrongdoing and my wrongdoing, our sins, our rebellions, our insufficiencies, our emptiness. And that there He provided, through His death, a payment for our deficiencies. And that through His resurrection, He rose us to a new hope, a living hope. And that our lives in this living hope, which means that nothing, not even death, can steal it from us. That in this living hope, that no matter what it is that happens, that we stand on the solid ground of Jesus Christ. I want you to understand this, if you don't understand anything of what I said today, that God loves you, that He wants to bless you, that everything in this world is a against you coming to know that. That he's actually the only one that truly is trustworthy. And that he blesses us in ways that we could never imagine. I mean, of course, it might be circumstantially, but what is the greatest blessings that happen is what happens in here. It's amazing. Sometimes circumstances are not the real problem. Sometimes it's just our hearts. If the heart is right, the circumstances don't matter. Haven't you thought, I was like, man, I would rather be with this person in trial than with that person in riches. And you know what? That's because something happens in the heart. There's love. And I want you to know that God loves you. And that he wants to bless you by transforming your mind, by transforming your heart, by filling your soul. He is so good. And we just need to hold on. We need to hold on to that and say, Lord, be able to go humbly and not judge him, but to be able to go humbly and say, Lord, I don't understand things, but will you please reveal yourself to me? I want to know Jesus. So may God bless you. And may you have a wonderful week. And if you want, you can click and ask for prayer. You have a little button that says prayer, and you can go onto live prayer and someone will be on the other side to pray for you. If you just want to leave a prayer, just wait for the service to be over and you can write it, and then you can be sure that we will pray for you. So may God bless you and fill your life with himself. Amen.
Jesus, have your way in me.